What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, July 17th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee.
What's good, Greg?
Being back, Andrea. I did not like being here on a Monday and not doing this show.
You know, I opened up Overcast, which is the app I use to listen to podcasts.
Sure.
And I went, because usually every Tuesday morning, when I'm getting ready to come into the office, I'm listening to Monday's show. And then I booted it up and it was Friday's show. And I was like, wait, I already listened. That's right. There's no show on Monday.
It was weird. Thanks for everybody who tuned into the Amazon Prime Day stream we did over on twitch.tv/AmazonPrime.
You crazy kids.
Amazon Games. It was great. It was fun. We just got to be stupid and play games. Who doesn't love that? Nick had like 15 minutes of improv on the Astro headset. Great. Cool. We wore like Jordy LaForge. He's in Mora. How you doing?
I am very good. I'm a little anxious. I'm leaving tomorrow,
Comic-Con.
For San Diego Comic-Con.
Right after this, we're doing a live Kinda Funny Games cast, and then I am leaving to LA for a stop before I go down to San Diego Comic-Con. A lot of stuff happening right now.
Yeah, and I'm just like looking at the calendar because, you know, we're already talking about RTX and trying to plan, you know, our meet about RTX, and then PAX stuff, all the panels for PAX, the first wave of them got approved, and like just all of the planning that's happening in the next 8 weeks is like making my mind a little melty.
Yeah, you look at, there's no more weekends. There's just events, and it's like,
okay, cool, we're gonna do that.
That's how this is gonna go from here on out. Great, okay, cool. But it's awesome. Can't wait to see everybody at all the different events we're running to and doing things for. Right now, Comic-Con in the sights, but I'll tell you about that in housekeeping. Right now, what I do is want to say is, first off, Andrea, you look great. You match the set perfectly.
Thank you so much. This is a brand new Stitch Fix outfit.
Oh, they're at stitchfix.com/AndreaRenee. Get your referral code.
I really need to like call them and be like, hey.
Hey, I talk about this stuff all the time for free.
I wear this.
There's probably a Kinda Funny code still active for that because I use that too. But I'm wearing a shirt that, if you notice, looks like the old EGM, Electronic Gaming Monthly logo, except it's Kinda Funny Games Daily. It was given to me at Kinda Funny Prom Meet and Greet, we believe, by John Dizon or Dizon. There's a debate on how to say his last name. I think it reads Dizon. Kevin says he's been told it's Dizon. But it's John, who took amazing photos and then makes amazing shirts and gave me this.
I would definitely buy that shirt.
Well, again, we were talking about this beforehand. I don't know where the copyright is for the old EGM logo anymore. Because what makes it look like, because I grew up reading Electronic Gaming Monthly, obviously, here we are. The new EGM Now logo, not the same logo, though.
You know, I bet we have an enterprising individual who's in the Twitch chat right now that would write into us at kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us if that copyright still exists.
Somebody call Dan Hsu. He'll know. Hsu will know what to do.
I was thinking Capitalist Pig would know.
That's sure, too. No, he'll know. I mean, he'll figure it out, I'm sure. And we'll get some lawyers on it, and we'll see.
Yeah.
For now, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy news. 30 knows. It's a one day off, Cool Greg, and it's all off the window. Nerdy news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then you can watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screwed up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping. Comic-Con is this week. Mere days away. Insanity. Preview night's tomorrow. Here's everything Kinda Funny is doing there. I'm hosting the Marvel Games Hall H panel Thursday. We're all hosting the Rocket League third birthday party Thursday night at Petco Park. That's 3 to 9 p.m. It is free. You do not need a pass, so just come on down. A lot of people can get inside Petco Park. Then, Kinda Funny streaming with Skybound Friday morning. Will WWE's Xavier Woods be there? Yes. Will a movie star be there with us? Yes. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it yet, so I'm not going to. Then I'm hosting the Pool Panic World Championships from the Adult Swim Skate Park Friday night. You can check that one out. And then finally, there's a sold-out Skybound meet and greet Saturday for all you Kinda Funny maniacs. Of course, all this is up at kindoffunny.com/SDCC. It looks very pretty now, thanks to me, even though Joey took down the ad I put up for my own Instagram.
I saw that.
Andrea, you're going to Comic-Con as well.
I am going to Comic-Con.
Where
it's
can people
be
find
great.
You?
So on Thursday at 6 p.m. is the infectiously creating the Division 2. Something, the word infectiously is the first word in the
Division
panel.
Division 2 panel.
Yeah. 6 p.m. on Thursday. And then on Friday, I'm going to be swinging by Petco Park.
Yeah.
And hanging out at the birthday party. And then.
Well, that's Thursday night.
That's Thursday night.
Yeah.
So that's before my panel.
It's during.
See, this is a, why calendars are important.
Come to Petco Park at 3 p.m. for the party. Mm-hmm. Then go with Andrea to her panel. Then come back to us for the after party.
See, exactly. It'll be great. And then Friday at 2:15 p.m. is the LEGO DC Supervillains Meet the Talent Behind the Games panel.
Now,
with
you might
all
say, Greg,
voice...
you're a voice actor on that. Are you on the panel? I am not. My character's not confirmed yet.
Well, it's because you're at Skybound, right?
Well, you know, there are a lot of things going on.
So that's on Friday. And then Saturday, I have the Defining Lara Croft Shadow of the Tomb Raider panel at 12:30 p.m. And then I'm going to be joining you at Skybound for the Kind of Funny Meet and Greet.
We are very excited for Comic-Con. Now, as you notice, that's a lot of stuff happening. Comic-Con immediately on us. I know people want me to keep housekeeping short. There's a million things going on, though. What happens is I'm leaving right after this show. Like I said, we're doing Gamescast, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames if you want to watch us record that live. Then I head on a plane to LA because I have to film something in LA that I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about yet. If I can, you can check out all my Instagrams and stuff tomorrow, I'm sure. However, what this means is a lot of shakeups for the show. You're going to Comic-Con right away. Mm-hmm. Nick and Tim are going to Comic-Con. Jared's going off on a little thing. So let's run right now some big news about who's hosting this show. Wednesday, Tim and Andy. Andy Cortez making his return to Kind of Funny Games Daily. People always like it when he's on.
Number one video game journalist,
rare.
Andy Cortez.
And then, here's where it gets real exciting, ladies and gentlemen. Thursday and Friday, we're doing something we've never done with Kind of Funny Games Daily. We are picking from the community, the pool of talent out there. And we're bringing in two men to host Thursday and Friday. Mike Doherty and Mike Howard. That's right! Cheeks Jr. And Snowbike Mike.
Snowbike Mike is going to be hosting the show?
Thursday and Friday's episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily. I wanted to give them two, let them get out there, try it out the first time, then come back and see what they like, what they don't like, and do it themselves.
I'm very excited to see how they're going to do.
I can't wait. I love that the Kind of Funny community's been around long enough that we just like, don't get me wrong, if more of you lived in California, there'd be a deeper pool, obviously, to get to. And maybe if we look way down the line, we'll be able to bring people in for other things. But to be like, man, we need hosts. And it's like, okay, well, everyone that we know is going to Comic-Con. Every host in the Bay Area is going to Comic-Con. Fuck, what do we do? Oh, wait, we have a great group of kids out there that are super talented and we know can command a stage and command a show, and they're going to do it for you. I'm excited. And then today's sponsor is Omaha Steaks, but I'll tell you about that later. I've wasted enough of your time. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Three items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Number one. They've detailed that No Man's Sky update everybody's talked about a long time ago, and it sounds pretty rad, Andrea. I'm going to read from Timur Hussein's GameSpot article. Titled Next, the update will be available for free on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC players from July 24th. Perhaps the biggest new addition is multiplayer, which allows players to team up with a small team of friends and explore the universe together or be joined by random members of the community. Quote, you can help friends to stay alive or prey on others to survive, the studio explains. You can build tiny shelters or complex colonies that are shared for all players. Fight as a pirate or a wingman in epic space battles with friends and enemies. Race exocraft across weird alien terrains, creating racetracks and trials to share online. The character customization allows you to personalize your appearance, end quote. The game will also receive a visual makeover that, according to Hello Games, has dramatically improved planetary terrain generation, ground textures, water, and clouds. Additionally, there's also significantly more detail added to ships, NPCs, and buildings. New planetary rings and improved space visuals have also been introduced. On top of that, the game is now playable in the third-person perspective. Quote, nearly 2 years ago, our small team of friends with a shared love of sci-fi opened up the universe of No Man's Sky for the first time, Hello Games said in a press release. It was an innovative, weird, and at times lonely game. I loved that. It reminded me of the science fiction books I grew up with. It was broad in a way that almost no other game is, but with four updates, it has become broader and so much deeper too. That will be even more true with the launch of Next, bringing a full multiplayer experience we can't wait for people to play, and hopefully you can see that from the trailer, that this is a very new experience. Of course, the trailer's out. There's more details I left out of Timur's story. There's a million things going on. Andrew, what's your read on this?
I think that this is great, particularly since the community has been wanting this for quite some time since launch. obviously there's going to be critics out there who say this is too little too late for them, and that's mm-hmm. fine. But I think that there are tons of people out there who would be willing to go back and experience No Man's Sky in the way that they envisioned it, where their expectations were when the game launched. And it seems like they are finally like caught up to that point now with all of the updates that they've been doing over the last year or so. And I think that this is, you know, motivation for people to maybe pick up a copy.
I think it's fascinating. I think the story of No Man's Sky has always been interesting, obviously. Hello Games, a small studio, made Joe Danger before this, came out. Story kind of got away from them and Sony PR, and what is this game going to be? Comes out to mixed, muddled, you know, reviews, right? Middling scores, but mainly in anger from the people who had been on board thinking they got sold something that the game wasn't. And then to see Sean Murray and Hello Games go really quiet, right? They did... You know, I'm always the guy who wants to advocate YouTube people, creators, video game developers, over explaining, over talking, over sharing, right? That's just what I do with our business. And to see that that wasn't what they did, right? They receded for a while and they did the thing of, we're going on lockdown, we're making our updates and we're keeping quiet. And when updates came, they talk about them and then they go back quiet. And then more updates would come. And in the beginning, I thought it was such a strange way to manage the message, to do public relations, to do PR. But now you get here and to see it coming to PC or see it coming to Xbox finally for the first time. You see so many people that are saying, I saw a Brit today on Twitter being like, I never played this the first time around and this game looks and sounds awesome now. I can't wait to jump in. And then people, I saw Patrick Klepek even tweet, you know, that he was super critical of it at release on PlayStation, but this looks like a success story. It seems like for most of the pundits out there, the time of too little too late for me is gone and more of like, hey, it's awesome. They actually did commit. And 2 years later, they are here with a game that they're super proud of.
Yeah.
Why not? Pete writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, happy Tuesday, hosts. Today, Hello Games announced a massive new update for No Man's Sky that finally introduces multiplayer, and Sean Murray tweeted out the following, quote, one day maybe we'll reach a point where we feel No Man's Sky is done, but until then, there's still so much more we want to do. With the game currently selling for $20 at most retailers, it certainly seems like a ton of bang for your buck. Do you think Hello Games has done enough to redeem themselves? And is this new update enough to get you guys interested in the game again?
Short answer, yes and yes.
Yeah? You think you're going to dive back in?
Yeah, definitely. After, you know, I get some time off.
Yeah.
unless they're going to bring it to Nintendo Switch. In which case, that would be fantastic. But I don't think this game will ever come to Switch mm-hmm. based off just the way that the game is developed and the sheer size of it. But I think $20 at most retailers is certainly an attractive price for people who have never gotten in. Now, I think it's up for debate whether people think that if they bought it at launch, you know, for the $60 price, if Hello Games has done enough to make good. Generally speaking, if you pay full price for a game at launch, you expect it to be the full game at launch. We've seen several games over the last couple of years, you know, include these massive day one patches that are attempting to fix a game that was probably not ready for certification, but that was pushed out the door anyway. And we've seen it be detrimental to several games. Mass Effect Andromeda is one game that I can think of. Somebody tweeted to me the other day and was like, oh, I found Andromeda on sale for $7.50 on PSN. Is it worth my money? I was like, fuck yes it is. $7.50? You jerk face.
All right, the faces weren't good at the launch. Jeez, it's okay.
But... absolutely, I think Hello Games has done enough to redeem themselves, in my personal opinion, and I think that they did it the right way. They took their time, they made the game, and I really just wish Sony would have given them more time without promoting it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw this game over 3 years of its marketing campaign.
On the E3 main stage, PSX, where they were talking about it like it was going to be this huge thing.
And so I feel like that marketing machine is really what built up this unrealistic expectation for this game and really set them up to fail. And we never want to see that happen to any developer, let alone like a small team that doesn't have the resources to make a turnaround quickly. Yeah. You know, they had to make the turnaround slowly. But now they're here.
I think this is part of their redemption. I think to a lot of players, they aren't redeemed. Mm-hmm. I think this is a huge part of them being redeemed, though, where I do think this comes out. And if it seems like as well received as it is right now from trailers and talking about it, if it gets there and its Xbox launch goes flawlessly and people are getting what they like, I think that will be enough word of mouth and positivity to not only get some lapsed players to come back. I enjoyed No Man's Sky for what it was. I had a lot of fun. I mined a lot of stuff. I enjoyed myself. Kevin and I would talk about it all the time. I had different expectations, and I know I've beaten that horse to death several times over the years here, so I won't get into it. But for what I thought that game was going to be, it was that game, and I had fun with it, and I put it aside. I'm not hankering to jump back in, but I'm glad they're doing all this stuff. I think it'll get some people who are maybe a little bit more angry or bitter about it to come back. There's always going to be that subset of the internet out there in the player base that is just mad and is never going to listen to whatever.
Totally.
But I think if this comes out and resets the tone a bit of like, hey, this game's actually really, really good, suddenly you have a chance for the GDC talk of Sean Murray and the games industry.biz articles and interviews there of like, hey, this is a redemption story, and let's talk about where things went wrong at launch that they really haven't. They, you know what I mean? They've, like I said, they've been really quiet about PR and talking. When you get to a point where you can be like, all right, here's the story of, in it, whether it's Kotaku, whether it's Waypoint, whether it's whoever wants to do this, you know, giant thing and have Sean Murray and have, you know, sources. Fucking Noclip, where you at? You know, if they're going to sit there and be like, here's where everything went wrong and here's how it is, and this, and here's how we sat there and ate shit for 2 years. Just were the butt of jokes and were people fucking furious, and we just sat there heads down and got the work done to get back to where we are. And here's what we learned. We were a small studio. We were naive. Like, I really feel on the end of this, they get to the point of, you know, to the quote here of, you know, maybe one day we'll reach a point where No Man's Sky's done. That's not now. I thought once they launched No Man's Sky and everything went badly, I was like, fuck, are they ever going to be able to make another game as Hello Games? Are they ever going to be able to have Sean Murray come out and talk again? At that point, I don't think they could have. The way they've handled everything and where they're at now, I think they're pretty close to being able to be like, hey, everybody at a PSX or an E3, like, you know, we're, you know, but it would it has to come after, again, the story being told and where it all is. It's been fascinating to watch, but I think, yeah, they are on the road to redemption. That's awesome because, again, they were always good people. But you know what I mean? That was the whole thing, is like, what happened in terms of them lying or saying or talking, 2 years too early about certain features. Sure. But they were always like, they always seemed like good people with their hearts in the right place. So I'm glad we got here rather than see them get snuffed out, the game never get any updates, and everybody just be bitter.
True.
Number two, we have a short quote here from Todd Howard about Fallout 76. This is via Keza McDonald, a name I haven't read in quite some time. On Kind of Funny Games Daily, or Kind of Funny Anything, from The Guardian, old colleague of mine from old IGN. She sat down and talked to Todd about Fallout 76. I found this one interesting, as did a Reset Era, where I got the initial tip. This is Todd Howard talking. Quote, "We avoid the word survival because people's minds immediately go to DayZ and Rust and certain other games. And those comparisons are not really accurate for what we're doing," Howard says. "If you think about the survival modes we've made in Fallout 4, it has that vibe, Fallout 76. Although it's an online game, when I play it, I mostly still play it solo. We like those experiences as much as our fans do," end quote. Again, interesting article. It rehashes some stuff, has different stuff in there, but it's talking about the idea of like being able to play by yourself, and this is how it is, and how much smaller the instances is, and we're talking about dozens rather than hundreds and stuff like that. For me, I take something away from this, where to avoid the word survival and to talk a little bit about, you know, the survival modes they've made for Fallout 4 and that Todd Howard's playing it solo, I'm like, okay. I'm still holding out hope, Andrea, that even though I wish them well and it looked impressive, when I looked at that trailer, it just didn't look like a Fallout game I'd want to play. But the way Todd Howard's describing it, I still see the Fallout I like in there. I just don't know what this game's going to be.
I am reserving a lot of my judgment on this game because that trailer I felt was not indicative of what this entire game experience is going to be.
Sure.
I think they really wanted to put forward this new idea of multiplayer in a traditionally hardcore single player experience because there's a lot of people in their community that are interested in that, and clearly a lot of people in the gaming community at large that are multiplayer fans. And I don't doubt for a second that this is going to be very much a Fallout game in every sense of what that franchise is, but the multiplayer stuff is just extra, just added on.
Sure.
There's just a lot we have to see how it's going to play out. I think the beta is going to be very, intriguing to keep an eye on.
Okay. I can't wait to see it myself. But I'm still holding out hope. And then number three, Pokemon Go Fest is done, and they put up some information over on a blog with numbers that I found interesting. They write, wow, what an amazing weekend. Thank you so much to the 21,000 trainers who attended Pokemon Go Fest in Chicago, USA, and the 180,000 trainers participating in the surrounding Chicago area, and the tens of millions of trainers all over the world who took part in Professor Willow's Global Challenge. Event attendees walked an average of more than 6 kilometers, completing an average of 36 research tasks and catching an average of 350 Pokemon on July 14th and 15th in beautiful Lincoln Park. Obviously, they go on with more, but those are the facts and the figures I like there.
It's a lot of people.
21,000 trainers in there, and then 180,000 in the surrounding Chicago area that didn't have tickets for Pokemon Go Fest, but came and played around the sides of it. Why didn't Britt go? This seems like something Britt would go to.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'll have to ask her.
Please do.
On this week's show.
Yeah, of course. Available Friday. Right now, of course, there's only one person you can talk to if you're going to talk about Pokemon Go Fest. That's, of course, the Dark Knight of News, Andrew Goldfarb from IGN.com. So we're going to dial in Goldie over here.
Goldie.
Hello.
Andrew Goldfarb from IGN.com. It's Greg Miller live on Kinda Funny Games Daily. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Hi, Andrew.
Oh, Andrew's here.
Oh, hi, Andrea.
Cool Greg's here, too.
Hi, Cool Greg.
You went to Pokemon Go Fest, yes?
I did, yeah. I got back yesterday.
How was it?
It was very hot. It was very rainy, and then it was very hot.
Rainy. Yeah.
That's Chicago. That's Chicago in the summer. Humid, hot, it's going to rain and stuff. Was it worth your time and the trip?
Oh, yeah, yeah. This year was awesome. This year was honestly the opposite of last year. I think it's sort of what they thought last year would be because like the game actually worked the entire time.
So
but yeah, I really liked it. It was crazy actually.
What did you do there? Like what made you want to go there? Was just to be around the other trainers? I mean, I know you went there for your job and stuff, you're writing stuff for IGN, but like what motivates you to get so into Pokemon Go Fest?
I think this one kind of was a better, so last year the one they organized was sort of like a music festival, like there was like a stage in the middle and everyone crowded around it and it was in one like concentrated area. And that was just a mess in every possible way. This year was like, it was spread out over, it was a 2 mile like walking course, and then they had these habitats set up, so there was like an ice area and a desert area and like a volcano area, and they had like different things spawning depending on where you walk. So it was just, it was like spread out over this gigantic area, and it was basically just walking around and kind of getting a bunch of different Pokemon Go experiences.
Okay. Now you said you were writing something for IGN, right?
Yeah, it just went up actually. It's very, very, very long.
What is it?
So because this year was not a disaster, since the game actually worked, I walked around and interviewed a bunch of players. Oh, nice. And I talked to Niantic, and it's just like a big state of the game piece, basically.
Gotcha. And then were a lot of the players there like saying goodbye to Pokemon Go? Because as you know, Ghostbusters World is coming out, which is similar to Pokemon Go, of you catching ghosts. I feel like that's just the death of Pokemon Go, yes?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, oh, clearly, of course, yeah. I think, you know, everybody knows how that game's just going to set the world on fire. You know, it is funny. There were a lot of people in the middle of Pokemon Go Fest, like, exiting out of the game and checking in on, like, Jurassic World Alive.
Or, oh, really?
Like, the other ones. So I do think, like, I don't know. Like, for me personally, I don't know that I would have the time or energy to do multiple of these games, but I think especially with Niantic doing Harry Potter, you know, sometime in the next 6 months, we'll see what that looks like, because I do think people are going to try and play multiple of these games at once.
Gotcha. But you are confirming, right, that you'll stop everything and play Ghostbusters World with me, right? Because I will buy you a Proton Pack.
If you'll buy me a Proton Pack, I pledge to at least play it for one day with you.
Well, you can do the Kinda Funny Let's Play with me and teach me all about it.
Okay, deal. I like that. That's all right. Fun.
Andrew Goldfarb, you're a peach and we love you. We'll talk to you later.
Love you too.
All right, bye. What a nice young boy.
He is a very nice lad.
Ah, dang it. I meant to say to him, you know, that, you know, I'm excited for Ghostbusters World, obviously. I want to learn all this Pokemon Go stuff, but it's so far away from when that's going to happen. I was going to say Goldfarb.
Greg, wait, opportunity
Goldfarb,
missed.
Goldfarb, when do you think? Yeah, yeah, Andrea, read me the list thing.
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday. Kevin Koala, everybody.
I'm slacking it to General. I'm you know how they got those two-step verification things happening all the time? I, of course, am one of those guys who's like, I demand to be that person.
Yeah, I'm the same way for what's good.
I get all this
I
thing.
Got the two, 2FA codes for me.
Oh, that's funny. Look, it's like, here's your code for Twitch. Here's your code for Twitch. Here's your Airbnb code. Here's Twitch. Here's Twitch. Where? There you go. You got it. Are you out to do
Oh my gosh. So good. You almost forgot, though.
Out today. Adventure Time. Pirates of the Enichlorian. End in Cheerion. You know what it fucking is if you like Adventure Time. It's on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. Black Sea Odyssey is on PS4. Chicken Assassin Reloaded is on PlayStation 4.
What?
Far Cry 5 Lost on Mars DLC is on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. If you think Chicken Assassin Reloaded deserves a what? Wait till you get some of the other titles you're going to get here in a little bit.
Oh my gosh.
Frost comes to PlayStation 4. Gene Rain comes to PlayStation 4. Nog launches today on PC and Mac with HTC Vive and Oculus Rift support. Hand of Fate 2 comes to Switch. Hop Along, The Badlands comes to PlayStation VR. Hungry Shark World comes to PlayStation 4. Ice Cream Surfer comes to PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Vita. Let's Sing 2018 comes to PlayStation 4, Switch. Middle Earth Shadow of War gets that update that removes the market and the microtransactions and does a whole bunch of other stuff, but that's the big stuff.
Ice Cream Surfer, I just looked up a video from Nintendo Wii U. So this is an old game, I guess.
Oh, what a surprise.
It's literally just
So
it's a 2D side-scrolling.
Oh my god.
This
is like bullet heaven. It's bullet heaven because it's moving so slow.
And it's all ice cream.
This strikes
background.
Me as it could be an easy platinum, everybody. Put it on your watch list. put Ice Cream Surfer on your watch list. We'll get to an easy platinum here in a second, too. Mother Gunship comes to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Mugsters comes to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. Race Arcade comes to PlayStation 4. Sonic Mania Plus comes to PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Space Jacked comes to PlayStation Vita, and then, there's more, but Super Destroy or Not, Destroy Not DX comes to PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Vita, and Up Down Strange writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD with breaking news you need to know about Super Destroy Not DX. The game's trophy list, 2 silvers, 11 golds, and a platinum can be completed comfortably within 20 minutes, and you don't even need a guide. There are some tricky ones, such as kill one enemy and die once, but I think y'all can cope. The game is super cheap. It's £3.99 on the UK store, and there are separate lists for PlayStation 4 and Vita, so you can double dip if you like. I do fucking like Up Down Strange. You better bet your ass I'll be getting this one and platinum the shit out of both. Am I right, Cool Greg?
Hell yeah.
Then Super Dungeon Tactics comes to PlayStation 4. Tempest 4000 comes to PS4, Xbox One, and Steam. The Long Reach comes to Xbox One. The Path of Motus comes to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And then Gensu Wanderer Reloaded comes to PlayStation 4 and Switch. Whew, it's a Tuesday, everybody. New dates for you. Redeemer is coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch in August 2018. 1979 Revolution Black Friday is coming to PlayStation 4 North America July 31st, PlayStation 4 EU August 1st, August 2nd on Switch, and then August 3rd on Xbox. Runbo Deluxe Edition for PlayStation 4 and Switch is coming retail August 10th, including DLC and some physical goodies. The developer is thrilled to announce that the first of the... Sea of Thieves is getting an update called Cursed Sails that's free on July 31st. And then, according to IGN, South Park, the Stick of Truth will be available on Switch before the end of September.
That's a lot, Greg.
Ooh, I ran them. I ran through them. You know
did
I mean?
It, though.
That's what you got to do, Cool Greg. That's what the pros do, you know? You run through them, don't take a breath, no one can really understand you, and then you make everybody listening catch your breath while you drink water.
That's true. Are any of those Amazon deals that you guys talked about yesterday still going?
I believe.
Or did that end?
Prime Day ran into today.
I thought Prime Day goes until midnight tonight.
I can't remember when it turned off.
Let's
cool,
look.
Greg. Tim said midnight tonight? Yeah. Then yes, the Prime deals we were talking about yesterday. Your Ojos and your Switch deals and all that stuff. Deals of the day. Prime Day is still going for deals of the day for you. But for now. Let's check in with the readers in Reader Mail. But before then, let's tell you that Reader Mail is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Remember when Omaha Steaks fed your dad for Father's Day? Andrew, remember?
Yep, I do, because we still have some of the pack that I bought.
Now they want to feed your summer barbecue. That's right. They have a brand new summer barbecue deal, and the deal is even better than the Father's Day deal, so go to hell, Dad. Why Omaha Steaks? Omaha Steaks offers everything to satisfy your grilling needs. They have quality, all the highest quality cuts with one-of-a-kind flavor. All beef is USDA inspected for quality and aged 21 days to unlock the full flavor and tenderness of the cuts. They got variety, because, of course, they got beef, they got chicken, they got potatoes, even. You know, one of those people. You just want potatoes. I don't know if I'd order them from just for the potatoes, but I digress. Customization. You can do whatever you want. You can customize your cuts for all this different stuff. But right now, Omaha Steaks is giving a limited time offer to our listeners for the summer. Go to omahasteaks.com, type KF Games in the search bar, and you can get this Omaha Steaks Grill Ready Collection for only $39.99.
This is bonkers, Greg.
That's 80% off, and here's what you get. 2 tender filet mignons, 2 beefy top sirloins, 4 juicy boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, 4 traditional kielbasa sausages, 4 award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, 1 Omaha Steaks seasoning packet that I believe Kevin eats by itself, plus you get 4 made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets for free. We use these people for the meat. We use this meat. Cool, Greg, do you like the meat I cook for you on the grill from Omaha? Yeah. He does like it.
Greg, I did some quick math.
Yeah.
That's 24 pieces of meat at $39.99 for that entire thing.
Right.
That averages out to be approximately $1.66 per piece. Can you imagine a world where you can get a filet mignon for $1.66?
I can, thanks to omahasteaks.com, promo code KF Games in the search bar.
Oh my god!
But you like Omaha, for real. You're excited because you like, yes, Omaha Steaks. I like Omaha Steaks.
I have it in my freezer right now. We just made the 2 steaks a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious.
Great. Get this limited time package for $39.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com. Type KF Games in the search bar and add the Grill Ready Collection to your cart. Don't wait. You'll want to get this offer soon in time for the summer. Go to omahasteaks.com, type KF Games in the search bar, and grab your friends and family to fire up the grill. I think I want to start with, you know, I like to go in the inside baseball questions a lot. You know what I mean? I like, mm-hmm, when people ask about our business. Rick Ross. I don't think it's really him, but yeah, Rick Ross wrote in, cool Greg, to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey guys, how do you respond to the claim that games journalism / enthusiasts are just another arm of marketing for game companies, especially because of your close ties to the people who work in those companies, and especially when your exposure brings more light to certain games? I mean, isn't that what marketing is? I mean, you are having a Prime Day promotion all day. Is that not just marketing? Why not call a spade and label yourselves as such, Rick Ross? Andrea, it's a multifaceted question, and I feel we're shoving a lot of things in there.
Yes.
I don't like tossing in the games journalism part, because, mm-hmm, I feel like
there are people doing really amazing games journalism.
I definitely
those people are not us.
No, I feel like Klepek and Schreier and Austin Walker and the list that goes on and Goldfarb. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel when you start talking about journalism, that's when there's the wall between advertising and marketing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. When you get into what is kind of funny, what's good games, that's a different ball of wax altogether. And
we're
that's
pundits.
Why, yeah, when we came here, it was very clear, right, of when we started kind of funny, of like, cool, when we do deals, when we do an Amazon Prime Day stream for Amazon, you know that they're paying us. That's a hosting gig. We're doing a job for them. Mm-hmm. Now, when he's talking about here, you know, isn't Prime Day promotion all about marketing? Right. And you know, I saw people, oh man, I mean, very few actually, but hey man, kind of funny, selling out, right? They're promoting all this stuff. They were talking about the products when in reality we were selling out to Amazon, right? Of like, hey, these are all things you can get on Amazon. That's where it was, of us promoting their deals that way.
Right.
But that's how commercials on your TV show and your podcast work in general.
Right.
And the deal with kind of funny and the ethics we have for when we take on an advertisement or a promotion or I go host something is, of course, you know what you're getting. I'm never going to go host something, go be in a commercial, go have somebody come on the show and talk about it, and if I don't like the game when I play the game or the final game or whatever, feel like I can't say that I didn't like the game. Nor am I going to take on a product that you look at and like, why would Greg, like, we're not doing the activation right now to my knowledge, the Marvel Puzzle Quest thing, right? Where that, like, my ad read for Marvel Puzzle Quest is legitimately what happened. Where they were like, we want you to do an ad for this mobile game. I'm like, we're not really mobile game people. And they're like, it's Marvel Puzzle Quest. I'm like, oh, sure, it's a knockoff puzzle. Oh my God, it's really Puzzle Quest. Oh my, I'm really playing Puzzle Quest. And that's why, mm-hmm, that deal happens, right? It's not like they come in and they're like, we want you to do the fucking Chairagami app. And we're like, all right, whatever. We love chairs. Like, you know, it's this weird ball of wax of how to all things. But in the same way of, you know, he's calling, talking about Amazon Prime here, but like when Tim and I hosted the Final Fantasy 15 reveal event, right? That was very much that. You want us for this? Why? They explained why. That, okay, you know, Tim's the hardcore fan. Greg, you're the novice. That's who we're both of the two people we're trying to get in with this game. Okay, great. And they wanted to hook me on the game, and I played the game, and I never got hooked on it, and I stopped playing it, and I say that when I talk about the game. It's like, at no point would that come in. You say we're pundits, we're hosts. That's, I think, a great way to put it.
Yeah, I've always maintained that the moniker of journalist in the field of entertainment news needs to be taken with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
At large, because video game news is underneath the entertainment news umbrella. So your Access Hollywood, your Entertainment Tonight, your E! Online, you're Kind of Funny, you're What's Good. We're all under that same umbrella. We're not, you know, talking about crazy legislation or what's happening, you know, between world powers. Like, what we do is considered a luxury piece of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? It's
infotainment.
Yeah. It's
entertainment. That's the biggest thing.
It's not real news.
Yeah.
Right? We know that. Yeah. You guys should know that. And there's some people out there that take video game news to be a little bit more serious than it should be. This is just video games.
Yeah.
It's just a hobby that we all love and we spend money on and we love nerding out about and talking about.
And
there are some people doing really great investigative work and doing like that are doing stuff that's very consumer focused and protective of consumer rights within the video game field. And I think that there's absolutely a place for people like that to do their work. People like a Jim Sterling, for example, who runs his own Patreon and you know, left The Escapist because he didn't want to take these kinds of ad deals. And so now he is independent. And I think that it's awesome that he has his fan base that is willing to support him doing that kind of work.
Jim fucking Sterling, son.
Yeah, he's great. But that's not the kind of work that you and I do.
Yeah.
And I've always told people, like, I had somebody write to me on Twitter about this just the other day, about how when I made the comment about John working for Sony, when we were talking about Sony's crazy year, and I made like the off-the-cuff joke, like, oh, I'm glad that Sony's doing well.
Yeah.
And he was like, how come this is the first time I've heard of your husband working for Sony? I'm like, I don't know, you must not have been listening, because we talk about it on the show all the time.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where I'm not going to disclose that every time I talk about something that PlayStation does, because
I feel like that's a known quantity at this point, right?
And
granted, I understand if you're a listener, a viewer, every time we mention it or every time we talk about PlayStation, every time you're on the show is somebody's first show. They don't know that. But it only, I mean, if we have to, I mean, I'm all about disclosure, right? Like, for real. And so, like, but if we have to disclose, if it was that, we just mentioned Final Fantasy in passing and I have to go back and, well, remember that Tim and I did this thing with, like, you have to take on some of that on your own. But I think also the fact that both of us have amassed audiences and have fans and have communities, right, that want to be a part of it, they get that. And that's always been my thing, right? Like, the day one of Kind of Funny, I always talk about it on that first Colin and Greg Live, where it was, somebody asked us, what's your ethics policy? And it was like, oh, fuck, we hadn't, you'll just know everything. Like, you're going to know if we got paid to go do something, and if we're hosting something, you should assume it's paid. Like, that's like how this works. Like, that's like how we're doing this. We are hosts, we are a business, we are doing this, but we're never going to, like, you know, I did a Far Cry stream at PAX before Far Cry 5 came out, right? And I never would have ever taken a deal like that or done that if it was in the contract or something. Like, great, you can never say you didn't like Far Cry 5. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but I do understand that for certain people, the fact that I do work with PlayStation, Ubisoft, whoever, you know, the list goes on, or that I'm in the fucking Lego game, right? I understand for some people that means that they disqualify my opinion about those things, and I understand that.
Yeah,
but I think
there's
a great audience, a large audience that understands that's how we wear our ethics, that's how we wear our policies, and that's who we are.
100%. And what I've always maintained and told people is, if you are not comfortable with the fact that I get paid by publishers to go and speak about their games, then you don't need to listen to my opinions on video games. And it's really just that simple.
Yeah.
Find people that you identify with, find people whose video game tastes, you know, mirror yours, and whose commentary you really enjoy and whose ethics you can be comfortable with. And if that's not me and if that's not Greg, that's okay.
Yeah. And to Rick's point, you know, the claim that games journalism / enthusiast is just another arm of marketing. It, even when I was at IGN, I'm talking about when I was at IGN and I was reviewing, it's an interesting, not argument, but it's an interesting question of how it all works, because it's this is my thing where like I feel like there's a fork in the road between games journalism in quotes and games enthusiast press, because enthusiast press for the most part, you, and it's gotten way better now with so many indies and the access through Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff, but when I was there, there were PR was the gatekeeper. They were the gatekeeper of if you would get copies of games, if you would get preview codes for games, if you would get exclusive for games and blah blah blah. And there never was the backroom, oh my god, because obviously there's stories about it at IGN. Greg Miller said something, so he's blackballed, right? There was one time early on in my career where I reviewed a game, didn't like it, and I got a call like the next day after the review posted from the PR person, and they were totally like, I just wanted to let you know that I've talked to your bosses and that review will not be up at the end of the day on the cover story and yada. And I was like, all right. And I hung up and I turned to Dunham and I was like, hey, I just got a call. And he's like, what the fuck did they say? What are you talking about? Blah, blah, blah. And it was one of those that immediately my boss was into his boss's office, who was on the phone to what, and it was this thing. And what it was is that the PR person had called the sales team and the sales team was like, oh, I'm sorry, you don't like the review. Like, yeah, it's not going to be up at the end of the day because they cycle covers. It would have been up for like 28 hours. Right. And she took it as like, I just pulled the leash and this is what's
happening. I'm sticking it to
and
you.
And I never, ever heard from that PR person again. I never dealt with that PR person again. And I don't mean me. I mean, I never heard about them in the industry again. And like, that's how it works, right? Of like the reality of this kind of thing. And like, obviously there's stories of, you know, Kotaku getting blackballed and stuff like that. It's all a great weird ball of wax, but I feel like as our industry continues to grow up, you continue to see it flourish and move in different directions. Where I think that, yeah, you come here and we read the ad or you see us do a sponsored party mode. Again, like, we would never do a sponsored party mode or let's play for a game we think is shit. If they came by and like, we want to work with you, and then we looked at the game, we're like, this is fucking garbage, we wouldn't do it. That's why, like, I was, when people want to look for examples, I send out Death Squared, where I think, correct me if I'm wrong, we did a Death Squared let's play on our own because we liked it, and then did the sponsored one, and then did another one that wasn't sponsored. There's a real relationship there of those people were awesome and they liked us. And when it's that thing of you do get these friendships or business relationships, and then it is like they have a marketing budget and they understand our audience, they understand our reach, they want to work with us on something.
Absolutely. And I think what it really comes down to is that people like us who are content creators need to fund our operation. And in order to do that, we have to sell ads, because there's an expectation with a lot of audience members out there that they will get access to the content for free.
Sure.
And we want to be able to provide that. We want to bring Kind of Funny Games Daily to you guys at no cost. I want to bring you What's Good Games at no cost. And in order to do that, we have to sell advertising to supplement other forms of revenue, like Patreon, yeah, like Twitch subscriptions, you know, like YouTube AdSense or whatever the source of revenue is. And because all those sources combined still sometimes aren't enough, we have to, you know, sell ads. And a lot of times the people who want to buy ads on video game content are people who make video games. Surprise.
Yeah.
So it does kind of put us in a tough spot. And I'm going to just echo what Greg said to kind of like put a pin in this, that I hope that our audience, you guys listening and watching out there, would know that we would never take a deal that we weren't 100% in approval of. Yeah. Nobody is going to force us or the people that we work with to talk about a product that we don't believe in, that we think is a crap product, just to take the money. That's not who we are as people.
100%. And if it turns out to be a crap product at the end of the thing, we're going to say it's a crap product. That's the other thing. Like, yeah, you're on a preview panel or whatever. Yeah, fuck yeah, this game looks cool. And it's like, it's not. Oh, well, I'm not going to be like, well, we're not going to talk about it. I'll be like, no, that game fucking sucks.
No, we care about you guys too much to lie to you about stuff like that.
Of course. As I say, I only have authenticity to deal in. If I ever lose it, fuck, this whole thing's over. Jared Hayes writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hello, Kind of Funny crew. Hope you're doing well. I have been seeing a lot of articles and headlines talking about how well Octopath Traveler is selling. So much so that Amazon is backed out 1 to 2 months. Very cool to see a single player only turn-based strategy game doing so good in 2018. Do you think that this could jumpstart that this genre? Oh, do you think that this could be, he left out, no, he added, I'm just stupid, the jumpstart that this genre needed to be resurrected? Or maybe, just maybe, a sign of us getting a proper Chrono Trigger remake. Thanks. Love the show. Hope y'all have a swell morning.
I would love a Chrono Trigger remake.
Right?
I don't think that's going to happen, but it would be great if it did.
I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility. I think, if anything, this is really showing the fact that the Switch's audience is still buying games and will still buy awesome games. And I know that sounds simple, but as you look at EA not supporting the Switch, right? As you see other big AAA publishers trying to figure out what they want to do or not do with the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fascinating to see Square being like, yep, we made this thing that looks like an SNES game that has a whole bunch of humor in it and that is really cool that we had out, you know, way early at the Nintendo Switch like reveal event that it was there. Yeah, we made this game for this one platform and it's going bananas. And Square had to apologize already that they didn't make more copies of this game. Like, there's something to be said for that. And I don't know if that necessarily reinvigorates this genre, Jared, but I think it definitely gives people a huge, oh, fuck, like, wait, like, EA is sitting there and going like, wait, what could we put on that? What game could we make look like that? For me, and I will continue to scream it from the fucking rooftops, I hope it is happening at 2K, that, you know, they just announced WWE 2K19 not going to be on Switch because it just ran so shitty in 18. They look at this and they go, fuck, what if we just made a game in the No Mercy style? Not the engine. I know there's AKI and all these different licensing and THQ. But, like, what if we just made a simple wrestling game just for this that was multiplayer focused and looked like an SNES game or looked like an N64 game? There's a market there that's hungry and that will support different niche games. And I think that's the biggest takeaway from it.
Absolutely.
And don't forget about Valkyria Chronicles 4, brother. It's coming, baby! You... Oh, no, it says, your lucky chance, but spelled funny. Good job. Wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, you kind of funny crew. Long time, first time. With the release of the amazing Uncharted short film by Nathan Fillion and friends and the apparent development hell that the Uncharted film has gone through years and years, do you think it was all for fun? Or is this Fillion sending out a message like Ryan Reynolds did with Deadpool, hopefully stating that he understands the character of Nathan Drake and he has ideas that this type of movie can work and maybe they are making the wrong decision with the initial ideas they have for the Uncharted films? Thank you for everything you do and making my days at work go so much faster with all the great content you put out. Love and respect. That's an Easy Allies reference. Chance from Arlington, Texas. Did you watch the Uncharted Nathan Drake or Nathan Fillion film?
Of course I did.
How
it is fantastic.
Good.
It is currently at 1.6 million views.
Deservedly so.
For just one day.
Deservedly so. An amazing film if you haven't gone and checked it out.
It's that's really fantastic. Here's the thing. I don't think that the success of this film is going to sway the development problems that the Uncharted film is currently having.
Yeah.
Hollywood is a twisty, complicated place,
yeah.
And Sony has had their hands in the film business for many, many, many years. I love that this film was made. Obviously, lots of people out there, myself included, think Nathan Fillion would be a fantastic Nathan Drake.
Sure.
There's no doubt about that. I just don't know how this fan film is going to move the needle for the issues that the Uncharted film is having.
Yeah, I saw a lot of, you know, first, the film's amazing. Everyone should go check it out. I saw some, you know, a lot of people being like, oh man, I would definitely go for a Netflix version of this show. You know, give them the money and let them sit there and do it. And that then starts to speak a little bit to what you're talking about, Chance, with the Ryan Reynolds and like the, hey, here's what Deadpool, we want Deadpool to be. Let us make Deadpool. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility because I do think that there's Sony's a big corporation. And so, yeah, the Tom Holland movie, whatever the fuck's going on with that, whatever, you know, wherever the Marky Mark Wahlberg one got off track and went to hell. There's definitely somebody over there looking at it me like, well, what if we did this on its own? Like, you know what I mean? And it does bring up an interesting thing of, is Uncharted as an IP big enough to support that? Yep, Tom Holland is doing these full-blown major motion pictures where he's young Nathan Drake, and then there is this weird Netflix, this weird YouTube show that is up that isn't that, that is little things. But as Tim called out on the story, he thinks, or on the story, on a Kind of Funny Morning Show today, he's like, I don't see that happening, and I also think this was the right amount of it. Which is an interesting thing of when you sit back and think about it, like this was, for all intents and purposes, perfect. Like, this was perfect. It had Kitty Got Wet in it. It had the Inzaghi. It had the slow motion punch. It had Nathan Fillion being Nathan Drake. Do we want to see them push their luck and keep going and have it become one of those things that doesn't live up in the long run, that as we try to extend it out, doesn't, as we get to where you inevitably need the giant set pieces, the Netflix style budget doesn't actually give us what we want?
I mean, yes, we do.
We do? Okay.
I mean, of course we do. I mean, but I'm a diehard like action fan.
Sure.
And I love like big blockbuster popcorn movies.
Yeah.
And when I saw this, I was like, this would be a perfect like 90 minutes to 2 hour movie.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, like, not some crazy like trilogy or anything like that. Let's not draw it out.
Okay.
But make one good Uncharted movie and I'm in.
What Tim's take on it was is that he thought this would be similar to the gritty Power Rangers one from Adi Shankar, where that went out, and rather than them say, oh, here's money to make more of that, that kicked the studio in the ass, like, oh, fuck, get the Power Rangers out. So maybe this does jostle loose the fact that, yep, people really want to see Nathan Drake. Let's get this Tom Holland movie going and see what happens with it.
I hope so.
Yeah, either way, it'll be interesting to see. But the video is awesome. Everyone should go check it out.
The one shot where they go into the third person over the shoulder, and then like when he goes to aim down the sights, it like zooms in. I was
Yeah, perfect. They had so much good stuff. They had so really much good stuff. I loved it when he jumped through the window. Everybody go watch it.
The moment about that was so video games. John and I looked at each other like, that's like such a video games thing that he jumps through a window and just lands and is totally fine.
Yeah, and then he's like in the wide open just shooting people. I'm like, all right, yeah.
So good.
I'll take it. I liked it. You know what are you going to do about it? Where do I want to go next with this and do this stuff? I want to do things. We got another show to do, though. Got to find a good question. This is my finding question music. Nas Kid A writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, I have a question regarding PSX 2018. Do you think there will be a PSX this year in the States? If memory recalls, they usually announce PSX during or right after E3. So what gives? Are they skipping it this year? Different plans, maybe? So what do you guys think? I love you guys with all my heart. There was one year they didn't announce it till it was like a month and a half out. I remember asking them, the PR team, every week what was going on with it before they would finally confirm and finally put stuff out. So I don't know if there's PSX this year. I would imagine there is, but I don't know. And I don't think you would have necessarily heard anything yet. Seems like that's always a PlayStation blog post way late.
Yeah, I would have hoped by now that they would have at least been like a save the date.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to save the date for the Game Awards, right?
Yeah.
So just because it's a weekend thing, people that want to fly in from out of town need to budget for travel and budget for hotels and maybe change around some of their holiday plans since it is in December. But yeah, no rumblings.
I know nothing about it. I would imagine it's still happening. I'd like to think they found success with it. But right now, I'd imagine, Jeff put out the save the date for Game Awards on the 7th of December, somewhere in there, right?
I thought he did the save the date for Game Awards during E3 this year.
No. But I'm saying the date he's saving. The same thing as usual, right?
Or the Thursday in the first week of December. Right?
Yeah. So just I imagine if PSX is happening, it's happening that weekend again. But that's just because that's what Jeff Keighley, our Lord and Savior, says.
Thursday. Oh, if it's the 7th, that's a Friday.
Well, whatever. I'm just saying whatever he said, Andrea. Whatever the save the date said.
I'm gonna look it up right now.
While you do that, I'm gonna squat up. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen.
December 6th, Thursday, December 6th.
It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, giving me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Nathaniel Peacock needs help on the PlayStation 4 in Australia. Oi, governor. His Twitter handle is Splatterpuss. Splatter, P-U-S, all one word. Hey, guys, I'm looking for some Aussie best friends to join me in Monster Hunter World for the summer festival. Even though I have a heap of gaming buddies, I haven't managed to coax anyone into the new world with me. So I'm calling on the best friends to join up. I'm a hunting horn / longsword user, happy to play support and keep everyone alive. Or cut tails like a kick-ass samurai as needed. Keep up the great work with Kinda Funny Games Daily. It's always a pleasure to listen to the show. If you are Australian and you want to play more Monster Hunter, hit up Splatterpuss on the PSN.
You saying that name reminds me of Snagglepuss, and John and I went down a Hanna-Barbera rabbit hole last night.
Really?
Yeah. I don't even remember how we got started talking about it, but there are some weird characters from the Hanna-Barbera universe.
Oh, yeah. Bunch of weirdos. Required reading. I'm going to toss one in here for you, but we're running late, so I'm just going to run through it real quick. Eurogamer.net has an article up called 4 years after it was announced, Crackdown 3 is in a tough spot. It's by Wesley Yin Poole. It's a great read about basically Crackdown's entire journey to getting to where it is now, and the fact that they really can't delay it again, and sources say they won't delay it again, but it's in such a sticky situation in terms of all the games that are coming out around it. Good read. Eurogamer.net. 4 years after it was announced, Crackdown 3 is in a tough spot. Andrea.
Yes.
We asked people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screwed up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. What did we mess up today?
Kebab says a couple of missed update notes for No Man's Sky. You can build bases anywhere. Here's what
I'm
going
to do. I'm going to stop you right there. I said there was more to the story than that. If you want to know more about the No Man's Sky update, go read. That's not a you're wrong. I said there's other stuff that it did.
All right.
Sorry, I'm not going to take that one.
Kebab says, when talking with Goldfarb about the fall of Pokemon Go, Greg forgot to mention the Garfield Go game released a year ago with absolutely no further news and currently rated as a respectable 4 stars.
Holy shit. Again, I don't think I'm wrong about that. I don't know.
Kebabs again, KFGD, actually used a very similar horizontal logo as on Greg's shirt for the first few episodes. It was placed at the top of the table monitor so the camera could be tighter on the host. These episodes also used a custom lower third that isn't at all the same as the ones used now.
Huh, hard to believe we launch a show without everything locked into place the way we thought it would be.
Tagless02 is editorializing about Pokemon Go and Ingress. Bob SJHD says Hungry Shark World is also out for the Xbox One, not just PS4.
Gotcha. Sorry, that was on Kotaku.
It's a big AAA game, you guys. Ryan T from TN says, what the hell, Greg? Ice Cream Surfer doesn't have a platinum.
God damn it!
Just 9 bronze and 5 silver. Not even a single gold.
Why don't these fuckers listen to this show? You put the platinum in there, you sell your fucking shovelware game, and everybody's happy. Buying fucking Dexo Destroyer DX or whatever the fuck.
Lord of Pwn says there have been 3 Let's Plays of Death Square, that kind of funny plays, followed by 2 party modes. The first party mode was sponsored.
Gotcha.
Kebabs again. Ozzy is traditionally spelt like Ozzy with Z's versus S's, hence the shortened from Oz, the country itself. It's weird.
I have no idea what he's correcting.
I don't either, but thanks. And Lord of Pwn one more time says PSX 2016 was announced in late September.
What about 15? 15 must have been the one that then like really ran up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Well, whatever. There was maybe that. I guess September for December is pretty tight. But I remember there being one that was real bad.
Yeah.
Andrea.
Yes, Greg.
There's one more you're wrong. Kevin!
Don't trip on anything, Kevin.
Egg Burner wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. It says important wrong. You're wrong from Friday. I can't watch live, so here it is. Angry Greg voice. How dare you, Big Kev dog? Sully, Captain Sullenberg, is a goddamn hero, and you slander his name? This should be a jailable offense. And Angry Greg voice. On Friday, Kevin said that Sully was maybe an alcoholic and not a good guy, and that's what the movie was about. False. Sully was a hero, and by all accounts, a great guy. Greg said we already got that with Flight, where Denzel's character was a hero, but also a complete dirtbag. I think that's maybe what Big Kev Dog was thinking about. Both movies are excellent. Check them both out. Something
was
about a chicken.
Was he not an alcoholic?
I guess not.
All right, well, good for him.
Nobody saw Sully.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Nobody saw.
Jared, you see Sully?
I didn't see Sully.
Exactly. No. So apparently, Sully not a bad guy.
I saw Mike Lebowski, but I didn't see Sully.
Get the fuck out of my face. All right.
Are you supposed to be wrapping it up?
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every week down a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, all that jazz. Watch it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Listen on podcast services around the globe. I am off to LA for something I can't talk about, but when I do, your minds are going to fucking explode.
Come see us at Comic-Con.
We go to Comic-Con and do a million things, of course. Kindoffunny.com/Comic-Con. You can find out all about it. Please give warm welcomes to Andy tomorrow on Kind of Funny Games Daily. And then, of course, Snowbike Mike Cheeks Jr. Thursday and Friday. Can't wait to see it.
You know, I'm realizing we had an opportunity missed. We should have just had Jared be the third chair on the show today.
If Jared was on the show, we'd still be in question one.
That's probably true.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen.
Chatty Cathy,
it's been our pleasure to serve you. Live Games Cast, pretty much now!